Turkey beat Austria 2-1 to advance to the quarterfinals of the Euros. Turkey scored in the first minute of the game. Their center back scored both goals, both off of corners. Austria outshot Turkey 21-3.
I'm boycotting Turkey's name, by the way, until they change it back.
They're not going to.
So annoying.
They're not going to be like, oh, this Greg guy.
They should.
He knows a lot of facts about sunlight in Nevada.
That's
we
right.
Got to listen to him and change our name back to Turkey. No, they're Turkey. Turkey. They will play the Netherlands in the quarterfinals. They are the only team ranked outside the top 20 that is still playing in the Euros, and they are ranked 40th in the world.
Wow. Well, that just shows you how short this tournament is. I mean, anybody could get lucky. Yeah. You know?
It has actually been, I mean, there have been upsets, but as far as the quarterfinals, these are most of the teams we expected, and then Turkey.
Yeah.
Like, it's seven teams that should be there, and then Turkey is there as well.
Dude, I was at Buffalo Wild Wings last night for the Aces, you know, playing the Fever. Kicked their ass, by the way. But there were so many soccer fans in there. I was shocked. You would have loved it, Tyler. It was your kind of atmosphere.
Brazil was playing Colombia.
Yeah.
They tied 1-1, which means Saturday, Brazil is back here in Vegas. They just played over the weekend, but they're back here in Vegas, and they are playing Uruguay in a quarterfinal of Copa America.
By the way, not being that guy, but the combination of Colombian women and Brazilian women, not bad.
Those are great. That's another great question.
You got to, Greg, just watch soccer for the shots, the camera shots of the fans.
Yes, I will.
You can do that. You'll enjoy that part of it, at least.
Yeah, yeah. No,
and soccer's great. It's going to be great.
I like playing it on PlayStation. It's fun.
Okay. The Golden Knights signed Victor Olofsson yesterday. He had 7 goals in 51 games last year in Buffalo. That is not very good. He did score 28 goals the previous season. He's making $1.1 million. I think signing Victor Olofsson is like a good value signing because $1.1 million is not a lot. He's just 2 years removed from scoring 28 goals in a season. There is, and he's done 20 goal season, I think it's 3 times in his career. There is a good scoring winger in there. I don't know if he'll show up for the Golden Knights, but it is possible, and it's a pretty low risk signing at $1.1 million. There's a chance Victor Olofsson is playing with Mark Stone and Tomas Hertl this year and has a great season because they set him up and he just has to finish. But Jay Fresh Hockey does a great job with some analytics in hockey, described him as a scoring winger who does nothing else. So you're probably getting a defensive liability. And I think there's also a chance that Victor Olofsson is just never able to play on one of the top lines for the Golden Knights because if he's not good defensively, Bruce Cassidy won't want to put them there. The Mark Stone, Tomas Hertl line is probably going to draw some of the other team's best lines in matchups. And if he's that bad defensively, they don't want him out there. But it's still the risk is fine given how little he makes. The problem goes back to kind of what we talked about yesterday. They might be relying on him to be in one of their first or second lines. And that's where the issue is. They don't have good wingers to guarantee they're going to be on the first and second line. So they might have to put this guy on there and they might have to gamble on him being the 28 goal scorer who's at least competent defensively when they could also get the 7 goal scorer who's terrible defensively.
I feel like they're still going to make another move, though. I don't think they're done.
I think they are.
I know fans don't dictate everything, but I just feel like the fans are going to be like, what, dude, you got rid of Marchessault, and now you're going to do anything? We're just going to sign this dude? Like,
I think they're done until somebody gets hurt and goes on long-term IR.
And that forces them to do something.
That's what they've done the last 3 years is Mark Stone's hurt. They put him on long-term IR. That opens up some cap space, and then they make a trade. So somebody gets hurt that makes a lot of money in season, they can put him on long-term IR. I think that's when they'd make a significant move. But otherwise, I mean, the Mitch Marner possibility is still there right now, but that seems to be the only one that could happen. It is the Golden Knights. They have made trades out of nowhere with players that nobody was expecting to get traded, but I don't think there's much more coming this offseason.
Do you think they expect players that had down years to have better years, though, and that'll just kind of fix most of it anyway?
Their own current players?
Yeah, like players, you know, especially the guys they traded for towards the end that were injured.
I mean, yeah, they're certainly counting on Tomas Hertl having a better year. I don't know that he will. They're certainly counting on Alex Pietrangelo to have a better season because he had one of his worst career seasons last year.
Right.
But he's also, I think, 33 or 34, so he might just be in the downward decline of a career. But yeah, they are counting on, probably for the first time in franchise history, a top heavy lineup as opposed to like great depth. Like they've had it, they, when they won the Stanley Cup, a large part was because they had better depth than every single team they played. That's probably not the case this season.
Yeah, that's a pretty detailed question.
We talked a little bit about this yesterday. There's been a little bit more detail about Utah State and their football coach, Blake Anderson, who is probably out. So Utah State told Blake Anderson they're intending to fire him. Now, they're trying to fire him for cause, and usually, I know this is how it's written in UNLV coaches' contracts, if you're going to get fired for cause, you have to be given a certain amount of notice, and that's what they're doing. They're basically saying, we're going to fire you in 2 weeks for cause. The cause is where we don't have a lot of details. There's apparently there was a Title IX investigation here. According to Brett McMurphy, he tweeted out that the athletic director told the staff about Anderson going on leave as a result of an investigation. Quote, it didn't sound good, a source said. Last year, three players were arrested for sexual assault. So that's the extent of the details we have.
Now, are you just adding that part in? I mean, I'm not saying it's not true, but I'm saying, like, did he say all of that? Or are you saying he said this and they also had three players?
That was the tweet that McMurphy sent out.
Oh, okay. So that was part of the actual tweet.
Yeah.
So he's assuming this has something to do with that.
So, yeah, the Blake Anderson's attorney, was it his attorney or his agent? Can't remember. Somebody for Blake Anderson basically came out and said, like, they're trying to fire him for something his superior didn't do.
I see.
So my reading between the lines assumption here is that there were football players involved in some sort of sexual assault situation, and it was not reported / disciplined.
Right.
There's, you know, protocols for how you're supposed to handle any Title IX investigations. My assumption here is that they had some significant issues, and somewhere, whether it was Blake Anderson, people below him, or the athletic director, somewhere along the lines, there was a failure of protocol, and Anderson is getting fired, or at least they're trying to fire him right now. So we'll see. I assume we're going to get more details on this, but that's what it sounds like, is that we had some sort of sexual assault. Somebody within the football program or athletic department didn't do their job in reporting or disciplining those issues.
Could be anecdotal, but doesn't it seem like most of the time now when a coach gets fired or in trouble, it's because they look the other way at something or something that
happens
else did.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, right?
Quite a bit when it's like, yeah, all right, something bad happened. Don't tell me about it. I don't want to hear that.
Right.
And then, yeah, they don't do what they're supposed to do because it's football and we got to win a game on Saturday. If we don't beat New Mexico on Saturday, what else could happen?
Right.
What could be more important?
You sense any give up in the locker room? Hell no. Kind of questions that, Phil?
Bronny James will play in the California Summer League before the Las Vegas Summer League. First game's on Saturday.
I hope he lights it up, man. I hope he like goes out there, drops like 12 in 5 minutes or something, and hits four threes. And, you know, because I just, all the hate he's getting just makes me root for him even more. Now, look, I'm not saying he would have been a great NBA player if it wasn't for his dad. He probably wouldn't have got drafted. But again, people making this gigantic, enormous deal out of him being drafted as one of the last picks in the draft. Who cares? I saw people crying yesterday because he got a contract. Who cares? It's like, come on, man. I just want him to light it up. I want him to show everybody they're stupid.
I think that all other summer leagues should be banned.
Why?
Why is there a California Summer League?
I don't know.
There used to be a weird Utah one. They used to have them split. It used to only be like 16, 20 teams came here and everybody else went to Orlando. And then the NBA was like, wait a minute, we're making money in Vegas, so
yeah,
stop this Orlando nonsense. All of you are coming to Vegas. But then they still do the California Classic, whatever the hell that is. Classic what?
It's a burger, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't know. It depends. I think it's good for players who, you know, aren't in the spotlight. Bronny obviously is, but other guys who were drafted very late or wouldn't have made a team, I think it's good for them to get as much play time as possible, so I don't see anything wrong.
Who cares? You're not signing. You're not keeping a guy. Oh, my God. You see him in the California Classic back in July?
Yeah, depends on what he does.
Around. Unbelievable. Just play him in the real summer league. We don't need two summer leagues.
Yeah, it's a good question.
The Mountain West will play games on True TV. So Turner is going to have some college football this year. TNT is actually going to broadcast some of the college football playoff games in that first round. True TV is going to have Mountain West games during the regular season. 14 Mountain West games. None for UNLV, though. They've been robbed of the spotlight of True TV. How disappointing.
Man, I wanted to see them come on after a fake tow truck show or something. Have you ever watched that channel?
Yes.
Oh, my God. They call it True TV. It might be the fakest shows I've ever seen in my life.
First of all, lizard lick towing is phenomenal. That's a great show.
That is so bad.
Is that the one where the woman who was the tow truck driver fell off like the third story of a parking garage and then she was fine at the bottom?
Probably.
And like came walking back up the ramp cussing at everybody?
Yeah. There was one where a guy got shot and he acted like it was a bee sting. He's like, oh no, not again. Like wiped it off his arm, got back in his truck. I'm like, dude, come on.
Wiped the bullet hole
away. Yeah, yeah.
In all honesty, the realest show on that is probably like Impractical Joker.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, yeah. Because you know it's not real. They tell you it's not real. That's the only one that does. All the rest of them pretend.
Is Cops on True TV?
I don't know. I haven't seen it on.
I'm under the impression there's a channel called Cops that just plays that show 24/7 at this point.
Well, and they have so many spinoffs. Like Vegas has their own show, and then I think Texas has their own show. It's great.
So no UNLV on True TV. They already had 11 of their 12 games picked up for television before this was even announced. So the only game that hasn't been picked up is UNLV against Utah Tech.
Yeah.
So
UNLV is too good for True TV anyway.
They actually might be.
We don't care.
They do have one on the CW. But
hey,
national television.
It is not. So is True TV.
National television.
They're all national TV. So, but they'll have all of them on TV. The Utah Tech game will almost certainly get picked up by the Silver State Sports and Entertainment Network. So, all 12 should end up on TV this year, which is good for them. And True TV, even True TV doesn't want Utah Tech playing on them. You know, it happens.
I understand the question.
You remember DJ Burns from the NCAA tournament?
I do. Lost a lot of weight.
He lost 45 pounds.
That's all he lost?
What do you mean that's all he lost?
Well, he looked like he lost more than that.
All right. So he lost. There was initially a report that he lost 45 pounds in 6 weeks.
Okay.
He says that's not true. But he has lost 45 pounds in 12 weeks.
Okay.
He was preparing for the NBA draft. He did not get drafted, but he did sign with the Cavaliers after the draft. Maybe he'll be in the California Classic.
See, that's why we need it. So guys like DJ Burns can play.
No, because he'll be in the summer league here.
Yeah,
we got it. We're good. So, but DJ Burns apparently lost 45 pounds getting ready for the draft / offseason of the NBA. He also said in a story for CBS Sports that he did not enjoy the NCAA tournament as much as he should have.
Why?
I don't know. He said he was like too focused on winning basketball and didn't want to pay attention to the outside stuff. And now he says, like, already looking back,
he wish he did.
I should have enjoyed that a little bit more.
Well, he probably would have gained some weight back, too, though. It's probably good he didn't.
What, during the NCAA tournament?
Well, I'm saying if you're out there partying, doing whatever, enjoying yourself, you know.
Was he the one that had the vending machine business?
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder how that's going. Do you think he gets sponsored by vending machine companies if he makes the league?
What is a vending machine company?
Oh, I don't know. Whoever makes them.
I don't think anybody knows who vending machines are made by.
They just show up.
I don't know. He's got multiple vending machines around NC State.
I'm pretty sure vending machines are just like, they just naturally appear in the world.
Like, yeah, they're like monoliths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened to that monolith on top of one of the mountains?
Oh, they took it down.
Did you go take photos of
it? No, I didn't. I didn't make it in time. They had already taken it down.
Did you put it up?
I didn't. No. There's no way. I'm too lazy for all that.
Oh, that's a good point.
You got to drive around with a bunch of pieces of metal and then put them together and stuff. I can't do all that. I'll take a picture of it.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing that.
Bunch of pieces of metal.
Yeah.
You can't even drive around with a PA system. You're not going to have a monolith
exactly.
in your car.
Exactly. I don't even know what I'm doing.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to get into the WNBA after the Las Vegas Aces beat up on the Indiana Fever.
Ball is tapped around and Asia tracks it down. Look at that. To Clark. To Plum for another three. Boom! Shaka-laka-laka! Boom! KP for another three. She's got the big 3-0. 30 for Plum. Having the game of the year for her. Coming off that 2-point performance on Saturday in D.C.
Now, back to the press box on ESPN Las Vegas.
It's the summer of fun. ESPN Las Vegas and Planet Nissan. We're giving away a vacation for 8 weeks in the summer. This week's trip is to here in Vegas. What a vacation. So you are going to get to go to the Sphere, High Roller Observation Wheel, Alejandro Fernandez, a Cirque show, and $1,000 in spending cash. If you don't want all of that, you can take $3,000 instead. All you got to do to get entered to win is send us the code word, text it to us. Sand is today's word.
S-A-N-D.
Good job, Greg. Yeah. Sand is today's word. 702-364-1100 is the text line.
You just put your phone down. Did you Google how to spell that?
Yes, I did. No, I was actually getting a notice that my storage facility is overdue. The payment, I forgot.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
No, I'll go pay it. I'm just saying. I didn't know.
Oh. Well, it popped up. What, you got to go pay with a check?
I don't know. I thought it just came out of my bank account. Apparently it doesn't. I have to go over there and give it to him.
Make sure it didn't come out of your bank account.
I know, right?
I sent you a notice.
Let me get a smaller one. It's expensive.
Yeah. Is that where all your stuff is right now?
Some of it. I was. It's big enough to park my car in. That's why I got
that's
it.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. That's an important
I was going to live in it, but it's too hot.
Yeah, it's a little hot outside, Greg. Good thing you're in a hotel.
Well, it's supposed to be air conditioned.
Good thing you're in a hotel.
I know. Hotel's nice, though.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to stay in a hotel? S-A-N-D.
Way to go, Greg.
702-364-1100 is the text line. Good thing we're not asking to send in how to spell your name.
Oh, I know. It's tough.
Nobody would get that right.
I spell it wrong, just like Danny's last name.
Yeah. Neither one of you. I don't know what either of you are doing.
I know. Well, it's my parents' fault.
So. Well, that's obvious. Yeah. That happens.
I was named after Greg Nettles, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. Random baseball player that nobody's ever heard of. The Aces won last night. They beat the Indiana Fever. They are now 5-0 since Chelsea Gray returned. That has taken them from 6-6 to 11-6. Chelsea Gray last night didn't actually, I don't know if she played, but 2 minutes or something in the second half. She only played 2 minutes total. 4 points, 1 of 8 shooting. Did not have a good offensive night. She's only really had one good offensive performance since she's come back. Did have 4 assists. But here's the key. The Aces defense has dramatically improved. The first 12 games of the season before Chelsea Gray came back, they had a defensive rating of 104.3. That was 10th best in the league. In the 6 games since she's been back, the defensive rating is 95.3. That's 3rd best in the WNBA in that span. So they've gone from bottom 3 to top 3 in defensive efficiency since Chelsea Gray made her return.
I wouldn't put much stock into her not playing in the second half because at halftime you could tell that game was pretty much over. But yeah, so do you think, I mean, there are coincidences, but do you think this is mainly because of Chelsea Gray or do you think they just turned it on all of a sudden?
It is, okay, it's too big of an improvement to just simply be Chelsea
right.
Gray. Like, again,
right.
They've gone from bottom 3 to top 3. So that's
right.
Too big of an improvement. We are still talking a somewhat small sample size. It's 5 games. And
sure.
In that stretch, right, they've played 2 good teams in Connecticut and Seattle, who are 2 of the top 4. They've also played 3 of the 5 worst. They've played Chicago, they've played Indiana, and they've played D.C. So not completely easy because they've played some good teams, but 3 of those games have been against bad overall teams. One of the more interesting things in that first 12-game stretch is how often they seem to have defensive breakdowns where it looked like it was a lack of focus or communication on what they wanted to do. They had one last night, too, where they blitzed Caitlin Clark off a ball screen, and then nobody came to help when Aaliyah Boston rolled to the basket, and she just got a free lay-in. But I think some of it might have just been, we're the 2-time defending champs, we're fine, and it was just a lack of maybe intensity on the defensive end. Chelsea Gray's back. She's a good defender. She certainly helps.
Sure.
But I think they're just having fewer breakdowns.
That's
overall.
Kind of what I was thinking from the beginning was like they've already went back to back. They're kind of like, we know what to do. We'll turn it on when we need to. Plus, they knew they weren't at 100%. So like when we're at full strength, that's when we're going to turn it on. I mean, I know it's dangerous to do that kind of things, but it's working. And it seems like that's what they did.
Yeah. So there's still some issues that are out there, and we saw a couple of them last night. But I think ultimately it's not. They're going to be a good defensive team. Now, the last 2 years, they've been the best defensive team in the league.
Right.
Are they going to be that for the rest of the season? We'll see. I mean, they've been close these last 5 games, but will they be that good? I don't know. And that might be what it takes to win a title this year because Seattle and Connecticut both look really good, so they might have a more difficult time. But here's the other part of this. Still talking a 5-game sample size, not that big, but since Chelsea Gray returned, the Aces have the best net rating in the WNBA. Plus 15.5, they're outscoring their opponents per 100 possessions. 5-0 in that stretch. For the entire season, the Aces are up to fifth best record and fifth best net rating. They might be back to being the best team in the WNBA.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. At this point, let's say today, going forward, like if they had to start the playoffs today, do you think they're the best team in the WNBA?
They still, Chelsea Gray wasn't there, but they did. Their last loss was to New York, and it wasn't particularly close. Again, no Chelsea Gray, but they haven't like shown, yep, we can go beat New York. They did last year, no problem, but that would be the issue. And then the other part, right now they'd be the 5 seed in the WNBA playoffs, which means their path would be having to beat 3 of the top 4 teams in the WNBA to win the title. There is a chance the path is more difficult, and that makes they don't win the title because of that. Whereas if they're the 1 or the 2 seed, like right, if you're the 1 seed right now, you get to play Chicago in the first round. You get to play Angel Reese, who's going to miss 60 shots and get 50 offensive rebounds, but she's going to miss all the shots. Like if you get to play Chicago in the first round, that's basically a bye. Right now, they have to go play Seattle. Even if they're expected to beat or favored to beat Seattle, even if they do beat Seattle, it might take more out of you going into your next round. And then guess what? Your next round is going to be against Minnesota or Connecticut or something like that instead of, you know, a worse team. So, yeah, I think there might be the best team, but as of right now, there's the path to the title might be a little more difficult, that New York has an easier time or Connecticut has an easier time getting there.
Man, 3 in a row. Dynasty.
It's tough to do.
Dynasty in Vegas.
Yeah, and like this is why it's tough to win 3 in a row, because players get hurt, right? Chelsea Gray misses the first 12 games, right? And you have lapses where you're not as in-tuned as you should be or whatever over the course of 3 years, and then your playoff seeding is a little worse and it's harder to win it. So they're certainly not out of it. They certainly should be considered one of the top 3 favorites right now, maybe 4, depending on Minnesota.
If you had to guess how long this winning streak lasts, when does it end?
Oh, I need to look at this. They're playing a lot of games.
Yeah.
They're basically playing every other day until the Olympic break. So they play tomorrow against DC and Friday against the Sparks. They should win both of those. They're in their home against Dallas. That should be fine. Maybe at Seattle next week. But Seattle doesn't shoot threes, and that's their biggest weakness. And then Atlanta and DC. So it's a lot of games, but it's a fairly easy schedule getting to that Olympic break. So they're not going to win all of them. They'll lose, but they might only lose like one more before this Olympic break. When they come out of the Olympic break, they play the Liberty. They go Liberty, Sparks, Minnesota. So coming out of the Olympic break,
they'll be ready though, because they've already been playing. You know,
they might be
the
tired.
Olympics.
Their whole damn team's on the
That's
whole damn team's going.
If I'm Mark Davis, I'm just keeping them out.
That's gonna pull a Warriors over.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark, by the way, struggled last night.
She did
4 of 12 shooting, 1 of 7 from 3. She had 6 turnovers. She did have 11 assists and 6 rebounds. I don't understand what the Fever are doing.
Well, yeah, nobody does.
So the Aces last night did what a lot of teams do, and that is when she comes off a ball screen, you just blitz her. You basically double team her and force her to pass the ball. Because if you're getting double teamed, you should be passing out of the double team. And she's been blitzed more than any other player in the league coming off of ball screens. I think it's still more than any other team in the league off of ball screens. This is like the only player in the league that gets this type of defensive coverage.
Right.
I don't understand why there are not more plays where she is off the ball.
Yeah.
And trying to create open looks for her off the ball. Because when she's on the ball, you give her a ball screen and teams are just blitzing and forcing her to pass, and her teammates haven't been good enough to actually make them pay for that. But like if you put her off the ball or use her as the screener and make it a little bit more complicated for defenses to know when do we send 2 to Caitlin Clark. I feel like there's a lot of untapped offensive potential for that team, because they've got the player who's drawing the most attention outside the 3-point line in the league.
Right.
And they still can't create enough good looks to win. I think there's a lot missing there offensively for this team.
Yeah, she needs like a splash brother, you know, because I mean, when they did it to Curry for a long time, and then Curry does a lot of the off the ball Rip Hamilton type stuff where he's moving around the whole time. They don't do that at all really with her.
Right.
And when she does have the ball, like you said, they blitz. She has nobody. She doesn't have a Klay Thompson or somebody to pass it to that's going to hit a 3. So, yeah, I mean, I don't get it either, but, I mean, I don't want to bag on the coach too much because I don't know enough about it to know what she's doing, you know, what she does on a day-to-day basis, but a lot of people criticize the coach. I know that in Indiana because I got a lot of friends in Indiana, and they don't like her at all.
You have friends there?
Oh, yeah. I lived there for a little bit.
People that want to arrest you?
No. That's why I got arrested, because I was running for my friends, with my friends.
The Fever, I think when they've probably played their best is when Aaliyah Boston has had good games, because normally she sets the screen and then she's the one that's left open. But generally speaking, teams are going to send a help side defender to prevent Aaliyah Boston from getting a free layup. The Fever should be able to get a ton of open threes. And they are about halfway or slightly above average in terms of attempts and three-point percentage.
Yeah.
But I just feel like it should be so much higher. Because if you put three shooters around Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston, you should be scoring almost at will with the way teams are defending Caitlin Clark. And it just seems like they don't – I don't know if they don't have enough pieces or –
They don't have the shooters, I don't think. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't help if he's throwing somebody and they don't make it. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't really help.
So I feel like there's a lot missing. The other part, and this has been talked about quite a bit, Caitlin Clark's not a good defender.
No, not at all.
She was
small.
She was the primary defender on Kelsey Plum last night. And Kelsey Plum had 34 points. Best game of the year. Made 6 of 11 from 3. I don't know if this was Clark mistakes or their defensive plan, but she helped off of Kelsey Plum all the time.
Yeah.
And Kelsey Plum is one of the better shooters in the league. That was weird. You normally don't help that much off of Kelsey Plum. So I don't know if that was Clark kind of doing that on her own, blowing things on her own, or if that was, hey, if somebody gets beat off the dribble, we want to still help in the paint, even though it's Kelsey Plum. But Clark's a big liability on defense, which is probably going to hold them back in the future when they are conceivably towards the top of the WNBA.
She definitely is, but again, I don't know, like you said, I don't know what's the coach and what she's doing and what they're supposed to be doing, you know, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, they need to at least have some defenders around her and some shooters, some 3-and-D type people around her.
One stat I saw yesterday that blew me away. The All-Star teams were announced in the WNBA, and this year it's the Olympic team versus the All-Star. So the All-Star team's kind of like a B team. It's
right.
The All-Stars are kind of going to the Olympics.
Right.
Caitlin Clark led the fan voting. Not a surprise at all. She got over 700,000 votes. The stat that was amazing is that Clark got 700,000 votes this year to lead fan voting. Asia Wilson last year led WNBA fan voting for the All-Star game. Last year, Asia Wilson got 96,000 votes.
Oh, my God.
Caitlin Clark got 700,000.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Wilson was third in voting this year. She got 607,000 votes this year. So forget about the people that are voting for Clark. 500,000 more votes were cast for Asia Wilson this year than last year.
Yeah. Well, Asia Reese was fifth, and she got 300,000. Yeah. And that's like three times what the top person got last year.
500,000 more people, or there were more votes. You can vote more than once, I think. Voted for Asia Wilson this year than last year. And it's all because of Caitlin Clark.
It really is.
Like, it's insane.
I know.
I know there have been a bunch of ratings numbers. I know there have been a bunch of attendance numbers. But for some reason, that was the one that really put it into perspective for me. That, like, Asia Wilson's been awesome in this league for multiple years.
Yeah.
And she got 500,000 more votes simply because Caitlin Clark exists.
That's like when people say it's been growing. Yeah, it's been growing incrementally. But, like, the jump, I've never seen a jump like this in a sport from year to year.
Yeah.
You know, in popularity. If you look at the top ratings of games, like four of them are all this year, and they're all Caitlin Clark games.
They play
attendance. It's not even close. Yeah,
they played Chicago. I think is the highest rated games. Chicago versus Indiana are the highest rated games. Those are two teams fighting for the last playoff spot in a 12-team league.
No, it's incredible.
They're the eighth and ninth best teams in a 12-team league.
I think they said that 35% of the attendance so far is Caitlin Clark.
They had 20,000 last night.
Yeah.
They had that game at T-Mobile.
It's incredible.
So, yeah, the I know there's been a bunch of numbers. I know it's nothing new, but that was for some reason the one that really like threw that into perspective.
It's unbelievable.
Last thing. Actually, I got two more things for you. One, Logan Thompson was at that game after getting traded by the Golden Knights. I enjoyed that.
Wait a minute. He showed up to the draft. He's signing autographs. He's still
leaving.
Hanging out at the game.
He's
yeah.
not leaving.
Maybe he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, did the Capitals know they traded for him? We don't actually know. And also, if you've listened to this show, you know I've complained about this. The Aces took red out of their color scheme this year. Really annoyed me. Mark Davis is trying to make them more like the Raiders and just be silver and black, which is a terrible idea because one franchise is good and one isn't. Be more like the good one. They finally wore red last night. They have an alternate red jersey. They just haven't worn it the entire season. They finally wore it last night.
Yeah, I think the alternate should be like the – because I do like the Raiders ones. They look nice,
no,
but that
bad.
Should be the alternate one.
Yeah,
I think.
The red is – red has been in the color scheme since they moved here. Keep it in the color scheme. We don't need to be Raiders light. The Raiders are bad. Stop trying to mimic the bad franchise.
Who's the Minshew on the Aces?
It's a good question. Sydney Colson, I think. She loves to talk. She's a lot of fun. Teammates love her. Yeah,
great,
yeah.
Great mustache.
Yeah. She
had I just made that up. I have no idea.
Sydney Colson is definitely the Gardner Minshew. That's great. Problem is Sydney Colson plays like 4 minutes a game, and Gardner Minshew might be the starting quarterback. Not great. Coming up next, we'll get into the NFL.
Follow the guys on Twitter, at Ed Graney and at Bischoff underscore Tyler. Featuring Greg Salerno.
Hey.
Thanks, Danny.
No problem.
Greg, what if I told you that the Eagles are not the best team in the NFC?
NFC?
Yeah, you agree with that?
Or East?
NFC.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think on paper they're contenders, but I mean the way they ended last season, it's fair to say that they're not.
What if I told you they're not the best team in the NFC East?
It's, again, the way they ended last – well, only because of the way they ended last season.
What is this, a calm Eagles fan?
I think Griage took over.
Yeah, bring Greg back.
The artist.
So,
now, I mean, I think that on paper, they have the best roster in the NFC East. I think that's a fact. But after seeing how they finished last season, I can understand why people have doubts. I mean, come on.
Pro Football Focus did some power rankings for the offseason.
Uh-huh.
San Francisco came in as the number one team, Kansas City at number two, Baltimore at three, Buffalo at four, Detroit at five, and then Cowboys six, Eagles seven. So it's small difference between the top and the NFC.
I don't get the San Francisco one to me is hysterical. How are they ahead of the Chiefs?
I mean, they just lost in overtime in the Super Bowl. It's not that crazy to be like,
okay,
oh,
but did they lose?
Be
and they look terrible against Detroit. They look terrible against the.
What is he doing?
Did they not?
What is he doing? Are you about to call these flukes again?
No, I'm just saying that I don't think they're they're top five team. Are they number one in the league? Oh, come
He's
on.
Calling the rating system a fluke.
I'm saying it's
they
bad.
They beat Detroit.
But they barely. I mean, they were
a
losing that game.
A win is a win.
What are we doing here?
What? I'm just saying they're not the best. They lost. They weren't the best team in the league. They didn't win.
Yeah, but we're
the
talking.
Chiefs won.
It's power rankings for next year.
I understand. Next year the Chiefs are going
to
be better.
Two teams met in the Super Bowl. It went to overtime. It's not that
the Chiefs
crazy.
Had a
it's
terrible.
Not that crazy to suggest the team that lost could be better than the team that won.
The Chiefs' offense was terrible last year. It's going to be better this year.
I agree.
The Niners, you know what I mean? I mean, Brock Purdy at
what
some
was
point.
That?
Well, Brock Purdy at
no,
some point
I
is going to turn
know.
Into Brock Purdy. I mean, come on.
You mean lead his team back to the NFC Championship?
I guess. We'll see. I don't know, man. I'm not seeing them as the number one
I
team.
Love that you pick on good teams to just randomly hate every year.
I didn't say that they suck.
Last year you
not
were
the
like,
best team.
Last year you were stunned that people thought the Bills
I'm
were
I'm still
good.
Stunned the Bills are in the top five. How are the Bills in the top five?
Why wouldn't they be?
Because they're not that good.
Yes, they are.
All right.
They got Keon Coleman to replace.
Yeah, exactly.
The only problem
they
the
have
Bills-
a comedian now instead of a wide receiver. They're fine. I'm not saying they're bad. I think the Bills are like six or seven. I think San Francisco should be third or fourth. Is that really that big of a deal?
Like- you got the Niners behind like the Ravens.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. If you're kicking Buffalo out of the top five and you're dropping San Francisco to three or four, who are your top three?
I think the Eagles and Dallas are both better than Buffalo.
Okay,
I'll
they
take
are.
That. I'll take that.
They are. Okay. And I think San Fran, okay, three, maybe four. I think Baltimore going in is better than San Francisco.
Who would you put ahead of them if you put them at four?
That's what I'm asking.
Who's that third team?
It's and how are, first of all, I think the Packers might be better than Buffalo.
Okay.
Is that crazy?
This is
a little
be,
bit.
This is going to be fun.
I think the Packers are going to be good too. I do not think they're better than the Buffalo Bills.
But I mean, we're talking about the best teams here. It's not like I'm saying these teams suck. I'm just saying like I don't.
You are though. You kind of are.
Kind just of saying are. They're good.
You didn't think you backed out. You didn't think the Bills were going to make the playoffs last year.
I think all right, but I think Buffalo. Well, at one point they looked like they weren't going to, but I think Buffalo is a very good, not great team. I think there's like three or four great teams. I don't think Buffalo is one of them.
They're playing in the Super Bowl.
Oh man,
Buffalo is?
Yeah, yeah.
Get out of here.
They're playing in the Super Bowl.
No.
The Bengals might be better than Buffalo.
Probably not. They're playing in the Super Bowl.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Won't
I just,
even sniff it.
It seems like the Bills get all this hype every year, and I don't really understand.
The only reason they haven't The only reason they're not like better in your eyes is because they keep playing Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
They keep running into that guy and losing.
Jalen Hurts beat them on primetime.
Not in the Super Bowl.
He did. I watched him. All right, but they don't play. They didn't play in the Super Bowl. Neither team was in the Super Bowl.
2 years ago, they did.
They just did.
Who?
The Eagles and the Chiefs.
No, I'm talking about the Bills. The Bills weren't in the Super Bowl.
Well, they can't play in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs.
No, he said against the Eagles. Jesus Christ. Look, I'm saying I don't think the Bills are four. They're like six or seven, maybe eight.
They should probably be two.
Nah, I don't agree.
Here's my official power rankings for you. I don't know who five is, so I'm gonna start at four.
All right.
Four is San Francisco.
What? I just said that.
Three.
Greg, you sure you don't want to come on tomorrow?
Yeah. Are you kidding? I need a
Three
nap.
Three is Kansas City. Two is Buffalo. And number one in my power ratings on July 3rd, the Dallas Cowboys.
Come on, man.
Cowboys, Bills, Super Bowl.
He's only saying that because he said every year he's going to predict Cowboys,
Cowboys
go to the Super Bowl until they do so that he could be right.
Cowboys, Bills in the Super Bowl.
He doesn't actually believe them.
Yes,
one.
I do. They're good.
They're
a good team.
Look, they're okay. They're very good. But who do you think is going to win that game then, the Bills and the Cowboys?
I don't know. I'll have to see. I'm just predicting who gets there because it's going to be right, and then we'll see. We'll see how they play, how they get there.
On paper,
who I think is any good. I don't know. Where's the Super Bowl this year? Why do I feel like it's in New Orleans? Yeah, it's in New Orleans.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Is it still Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Yeah. That's a Cowboys win. Cowboys over Bills in the Super Bowl.
They're not going to make it that far. The Cowboys or the Bills.
They both will.
Mm-mm. I say Bills losing the division round.
Best two teams in the league, Cowboys, Bills. Put them in the Super Bowl. We don't even need to play the season. We can just do it right now.
Are the Cowboys even going to have their receiver or their best defensive player when the season starts?
Yeah. They'll show up. They'll be there. All right. Nothing to worry about there. Okay. All right.
If you ask Malik Hooker, they won't.
Why would I ask Malik Hooker?
Hold on. Call him real quick.
Malik Hooker thinks that.
Why would I ask him?
He thinks Micah Parsons should be the last person to get paid by the Cowboys.
Good for Malik Hooker.
I mean,
we got tickets to give away. Don't call Malik Hooker for these tickets. If you want to go see some boxing, now's your chance to win a pair of tickets. It's Top Ranked Boxing at the Palms, the unified middleweight world championship between Yanebek and Mikhailovich. 702-364-1100. That is the phone number if you want to go to the unified middleweight world championship for Top Ranked Boxing at the Palms on Saturday, July 13th. Call in now. 702-364-1100 is the phone number. That's 702-364-1100. Caller number five. It's 702-364-1100.
You're listening to the Press Box on 100.9 FM and 1100 AM.
Featuring Greg Salerno.
Featuring Greg Salerno.
Thanks, man.
Greg, how do you feel about Baby Gronk?
I don't care about him at all.
No.
No.
He was here.
Was he?
At Bishop Gorman.
Oh, really?
He was in pads, helmet, running routes.
He's on the team.
Wait a minute. How big is he?
Well, he's only like in seventh grade or something.
Yeah, I was
going to
say. I thought he was young.
He's like 5'2". His dad thinks he's 7'1".
Oh, nice. Yeah. He's going to be like that. Where's that kid that was it Marinovich or whatever, where his dad like tried to turn him into like this robot quarterback or something, and then he went crazy and started doing drugs?
Except this guy might be worse.
Don't do that, Baby Gronk.
Yeah, this dad might be worse.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Because now it's like he's, you know, whoring them out for social media too.
Ugh, awful.
Yeah, it's like, oh, let's get all the TikTok likes we can.
That's like that. Remember the baby Hercules or whatever? The dad like shot him up with roids and it ruined his whole life.
Yep.
Was that real?
Yeah.
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 Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Baby Gronk, be careful.
Seems less than ideal.
Yeah.
His dad keeps reaching out to all the podcast people. Hey, you want my son to come on? And they're like, dude, stop messaging us.
Yeah.
Baby Gronk.
Stay away from Perump, Baby Gronk.
Would you rather have Baby Gronk's dad or Clay Thompson's dad?
Clay Thompson's dad.
Yeah, he's just mad because he's a Lakers
fan. Yeah, he's mad because he's a Lakers fan. And he played in the league at least. You know, Baby Gronk's dad just like living vicariously through his son's shoulders.
Okay. Clay Thompson's dad's still weird.
He is weird, but
still weird.
There's
sound.
Levels.
Can we play that sound again real quick, Danny?
Of Michael Thompson?
Yeah, is it going to take too long before we have to go to break?
No, I got it right here.
Okay, because this is Clay Thompson's dad after Klay Thompson, I guess, chose the Mavericks in a sign and trade as opposed to choosing the Lakers, even though I don't know how realistic he was going to the Lakers to begin with.
Not too feeling too much in a congratulatory mood right now. You know, because, I mean, obviously it's Klay's decision. It's his life. He's a grown man, 34 years of age, just like we were 34 at one time. And our father used to give us advice. And, you know, we would go choose our own path. And that's fine. That's what life is supposed to be about. But I'm really disappointed. I was hoping, as you can assess, that he would be a Laker. And it was close. It came down to the Lakers and the Mavs, but the Mavs won out. But, you know me, I was hoping and praying he'd finish his career with the Lakers.
He's 34.
Plus,
I don't understand.
Even if he was a kid, you don't say it now. He already did it.
Yeah.
Say it beforehand, maybe. I hope he goes to the Lakers. Don't be like, hey, man, you made the wrong decision. Like the day after he signed with a new team, they got pictures of him and Kyrie and Luka, all this stuff, and now he's just crapping on it.
When's the last time somebody described you as, oh, he's a grown man, he can make his own decisions?
Never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like what you do when you're 18.
Oh, like, even then, though, like nobody said that.
Well, you probably weren't a grown man when you were 18.
Still working on it.
Were you in jail at 18?
Yeah, thanks, Tyler. I was. Appreciate it.
just asking.
But now I live in a hotel, so my life has turned around.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good that way. Featuring Greg Salerno. Just think. Featuring now. Greg Salerno. Just think, it could be better. You could have chose the Mavericks over the Lakers and disappointed your entire family.
Dude, I'll take the league minimum right now.
Well, yeah, obviously.
It'd be awesome.
Obviously. Come on.
What?
What are you doing? What are you providing to a team? You giving them shooting? No?
Literally or figuratively?
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe some defense. I can stand in the way of somebody.
There's defense of 3 seconds. You got to get the hell out of the lane.
Well, I mean, I'll just go in for a charge within 2 seconds. I'll get a charge or something.
Okay.
And then take me back out.
I think they'll dribble around you.
I got a bad shoulder anyway.
Can you throw a baseball anymore?
I can try.
You
I don't
can
know.
Try?
Well, we saw him try.
Well, yeah. The first pitch didn't work out so good, but I didn't warm up. If I warmed up for like 5 minutes, I could throw one.
Excuses. Chris Chapman threw a strike.
Yeah, from 4 feet away.
He threw a strike.
He didn't even go on the mound, though, dude. He was like on the grass, like right in front.
He was on the dirt.
Yeah, okay. That's not on a mound throw.
He was on the dirt.
Oh, you're killing me.
It was so much better than yours.
Yeah, of course it was. I got to throw right-handed from where he threw.
I didn't warm up. Listen to you.
Scar tissue.